It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm really good. I'm just working from home this morning because I've got to open the new Hayes Creek water treatment plant, which is producing another 6 million litres of water a day for Auckland, just out where I live, actually, in Hunua. So that's good news. Big investment there, but a permanent supply of water for the city. Helping us in these times when it still doesn't rain enough to fill our lakes up.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about water in a minute, but first we should touch base on level one because it is very good to be back here and hopefully for a longer period of time this time, which is looking positive. There has been some concern from people in hospitality and events industries about the speed at which we moved from level one, considering that the government had made their decision provisionally the day before and then giving the sort of basically 25-minute window before we moved in, put people on the hop a bit. Now, I'm sure people are pleased that they were able to be open for the weekend, you know, particularly with lots of big gigs happening and lots of races with the America's Cup going on. But do you think there is perhaps a fairness to that concern that there was maybe not enough communication with those particular industries about the speed of that change?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure what the government could have done. They wanted to wait the full 14 days to make sure that there was no further community transmission, which there wasn't, and there hasn't been since. And we all celebrate, and looking with the benefit of hindsight, we all say, hey, look, we could have moved out of level two earlier. Imagine what would have happened, though, if they'd done that a little bit after the first time when we went into level three for 3 days, and people were saying, oh, this is too soon to be going back. So I guess in one sense, the government is damned if they do and damned if they don't. I thought that it was wise, once they had the information that 14 days had passed, no community transmission, it was safe to move to level one, and they announced that, and it came into effect half an hour after they announced it. So I think that I understand the pressure the hospitality industry is under, but, you know, there's all sorts of people out there all the way through that have said, look, we don't want these restrictions. And yet, you know, today we're looking at Germany probably going back into lockdown. Italy's just gone back into lockdown. Britain's been locked down for a year, effectively. Kids out of school.
We're certainly.
Same thing in the United States.
Yeah.
So it's easy for us to all do a whinge, and, you know, I feel a bit that way sometimes too. But actually, we've just got to be really pleased that by acting strongly and effectively and early, we have managed to, at every point that the virus has made an incursion, we've stopped it.
We have been very, very fortunate. That doesn't necessarily reduce the material hardship for people who have been doing it very tough over this period. One thing that I have seen people talking about a lot is perhaps in previous times when we've had alert level announcements, there's been a provisional announcement the night before or the day before saying if everything goes well, we will see a change to this level tomorrow at this time. And I think people are perhaps confused or concerned about why that didn't happen for this one, why there was perhaps a provisional decision made, but that wasn't announced until the next day. So it didn't necessarily give people to make a calculated decision about if they wanted to take the risk to prep for that or not.
Yeah, look, I understand that. And normally what they would have done is made the announcement at 11:30 coming into effect the next morning or that evening. But what the government decided to do was, look, OK, we're now convinced that it is safe and we'll move immediately. Look, I think they'll look at the comms over that and they'll say, well, look, could we have said the day before, hey, look, provided, you know, these tests show that there is no further transmission, we're good to go tomorrow at midday. That's a possibility, but then I guess if they'd said that and people had worked in anticipation, bought the food in, and then suddenly we'd found another four cases and we had to stop it, then people would be saying, well, you know, we've ordered this food in, the government led us to that expectation, and now we're caught. So it is a difficult position
that
the health authorities are in. But I think they will look very closely at their comms to see, are there better ways in which they can do that? After each incursion, you know, we've learned something from that experience, and we've tried to do things better. And I think that that's the path. Mm. And the path, of course, comes to an end once we can get everybody vaccinated. And I'm getting all sorts of pressure on me to say, will you front up the queue to show that it's safe? So maybe somewhere early on in the piece, but not until after all the health workers and others have been done, I'll line up for the injection that I never enjoy having, but I know is necessary.
It's a good thing to get done. Hey, let's talk.
It's the right thing to do, and I'm just kind of really disappointed is a soft word. I'm disappointed that some church leaders like Brian Tamaki and some political leaders like the co-leader of the Māori Party aren't saying, look, the injection is the right thing. It's everybody's choice, but please do it for yourself, for your whānau, for your community, for the country, and that's why we've got to do it. That is the way in which we stop this pandemic dead in its tracks.
I don't want to linger on this for too long because we will have time to talk about this in the coming weeks, but I do just want to perhaps make the distinction that possibly the reasons for Brian Tamaki and the reasons for Rāwhiti Waititi having... Brian Tamaki just being Brian Tamaki, but Rāwhiti Waititi has perhaps some more mana motuhake reasons for wanting to have more autonomy around Māori making their own decisions about that vaccine. I think perhaps
They have that autonomy, Rachel. I don't buy that. I do buy that they're two separate individuals and motivated by different things. I won't even go to the leader of the Destiny Church in terms of what his attitudes and behaviour is. But in terms of political leaders, yes, it is everybody's choice, but is it the right thing to do? You and I would say absolutely. And while we would say to people, you're not compelled to do that, and that's correct as well, but you really need to think about doing that. I would encourage you to do it because it'll make you and your community safer. That's what I would have expected to hear from Rāwhiti. And I didn't hear it, and I was disappointed that I didn't hear it.
Well, let's talk. We will definitely come back to vaccines in the future on this show because this is going to be a big conversation for the next the next wee while. But let's talk a wee bit about the Auckland Transport Alignment Program. We've just seen a lot of money, $31 billion, go into a transport initiative for Tāmaki Makaurau that is looking towards helping this city meet the challenges of climate change and housing. It's getting a lot of really good feedback. There are also some groups saying that it doesn't necessarily go far enough to meet some of the emissions targets that the council has set itself. What are the main goals of this project?
Yeah, look, it's right. We have to go further on emissions, no doubt about that. We have cut emissions per capita under just this plan alone by 13%. But if we didn't do other things, we would still have a slight rise in emissions. And we don't need a rise in emissions, we need a cut in emissions. And that's why a whole lot of other things, such as light rail, pushing for a more compact city, which is what we're doing, a congestion tax, electrification incentivization for cars. We're not going to have petrol and diesel cars after about 2032, so let's get on and get people to convert as quickly as possible. That will make a further big impact on emissions. But what it does, I'll just do maybe 5 points on it. Community Connect, that's a great scheme. Mm-hmm. 50% cut in fares for our lowest income, most vulnerable people, probably 200,000 to 300,000 Aucklanders, will get a 50% cut in any rail and bus travel, and that will boost, that'll add another probably 2.7 million passenger trips a year and help the lowest income people. Really proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
A big move on road safety. We calculate that from the literally hundreds of millions of dollars we're putting into road safety, we'll cut the road toll by 65%, that's almost two-thirds, by 2031. That will stop 1,760 people losing their lives or becoming really seriously injured on the road. That's really good. Infrastructure, particularly for housing in the regeneration areas within the city boundaries, bring forward the ability to build another 17,000 homes at a time when we really need that. And public transport, I think, that's going to go up to another, probably we'll be doing at least 150 million passenger trips a year. It's going to, the number of people travelling at peak hour in the morning will go from 23% to 29% who are walking, cycling or travelling by public transport, and that's really good news as
well. That is a really good target to reach. Our very last topic that we've got to talk about this morning, which we've just got a quick minute to squeeze in, is talking about water, of course, something we keep coming back to because it is an ongoing problem for the city. And one of the ways in which we're managing our water crisis at the moment, as you said, is creating these new dams, which is fantastic, but also we are pumping more water or requesting to pump more water from the Waikato River. Now, Hamilton City Council is going to have a conditional opposition to Watercare's request to do this. Can you explain a little bit about what this is and what's going to be the next step for this discussion?
Yeah, it's conditional because they do require to oppose a consent if they're able to discuss the matters before the Board of Inquiry. So they ring me apologetically and say, look, we've got to say that we're opposed to some aspects of this in order to be able to make our point. And their point is that, obviously, you know, they want to make sure that whatever we take from the Waikato is not at their expense, and it won't be. Just to put it in perspective, and I think really we need to put it in perspective, the extra water we will take from the Waikato will reduce the water levels of the Waikato at Tuakau, where we draw from, by less than 2 centimetres, at a point where each day 16 billion litres of water flow past our intake and out into the sea. So that puts the whole thing in perspective. We're going for our total take, including what we're already taking 175 million litres a day. Our total take would theoretically go up to 300, though at the moment our pipeline doesn't allow more than 225 million litres a day. Mm-hmm. Longer term, what will we do? There are other options. I mean, obviously, we're already repairing water pipes, stopping leakages. We've just saved 5 million litres a day by repairing old pipes. We're encouraging people to use rainwater tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing to do. Doesn't make a huge difference, but it's the right thing to do. We're looking at conservation, and we're using probably 60 million litres a day less than we were this time last year, which is really good.
That is good.
Congratulations, Aucklanders. And then, ultimately, I think we'll look at recycling wastewater, which there's a yuck factor to, but the fact is a lot of cities around the world do that. They bring it up to absolutely pure standards,
yeah.
And that guarantees you a circular economy where we're not putting waste into the harbour, but we're converting it back to pure water, which we can then drink.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always a pleasure to have a chat with you on the show. We'll talk to you again next week, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to come back to some of these subjects, particularly the vaccine, because that's going to be a big one for the next few months.
Yep, no, absolutely. Look forward to that, Rachel, and go Team New Zealand today.
All right.
Any wind.
Ka kite, see you later.
Okay, mā te wā. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.